and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, we've been talking about the local church. And of course, people who go there, they actually make up the local church. That is, once again, that's the physical body. But only those people who are born again make up the body of Christ. We're talking about the local church. We've been talking about the church that Jesus Christ said he would build. And I believe that is the local church where the people of God gather together to worship him. Now, we've been talking about some of the things that I see. One of those things is, a church that does not magnify the Word of God is just playing church. A church does not hold up God's Word as, "Thus saith the Lord." That local church is just playing church. And those people who make up that local church, they're just playing. To be carnally minded is just playing church. In other words, to be in the flesh. In other words, not listening to the Spirit of God. Doing the things that the old flesh wants to do instead of doing the things that God wants done. And then building worshipers are just playing church. In other words, we look at the outside, or people look at the outside of a building saying, "Oh, look at how beautiful this place is." And they start putting their confidence in the structure instead of the one who has been responsible for helping people get that structure, and that is God. God looks on the inward, not the outward. And I made mention before how that there are some people who look at individuals. They look at other humans, other people, and they sort of start idolizing individuals. Well, that's not right. We're not to do that. And people who do that are just playing church, going to church and just to idolize someone within that church. If you're going to church just for an individual, for another person, then you're going for the wrong purpose. You need to be going there because God wants you there. You're there to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I made mention once before in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven." I made mention a few moments ago, how that we're not to look on the individual, on the person, of how good they look, of what they have on, what the clothes that they're wearing, and brag on that individual. But might I say that one day I'm going to be beautiful? You say, "Well, wait a minute. Now you just said you're not supposed to look on the outward appearance." Well, verse 1 and 2 of 2 Corinthians 5 tells me that I'm going to be having a new house. This old house that I now have is going to be replaced with a new house. And that is the house that God gives me when he changes this old vile body and gives me a new house. The thing that clothes me, it's coming from God. I will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to be clothed upon with not only the righteousness that God gives me, but he's going to give me a new body. It's going to be sinless. No sin about that new body will be there. Well, we're not to worship buildings or people. We're to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to look on the outward sign of an individual or the building and say, you know, we're going there for that reason. What is needed in churches today is not more supper rooms, but more upper rooms. Places to where we pray and we talk to the Lord Jesus Christ. We go there to get charged from heaven. We get fed from his word. Now, we're to study on our own as well. We're to study the Word of God, showing ourselves approved unto God, workmen. It takes work to study the Word of God, so we need to be studying the Word of God. But we go to church, and we hear the Word of God. That is, if they're using the Word of God. We get fed when the preacher stands, or the evangelist stands, or the Sunday school teacher stands and proclaims, "Thus saith the Lord." Well, this takes us to the next point I'd like for us to look at. The church that does not magnify prayer, well, that church is just playing church. Seeking God's power. There was one person who stands out in my mind, and we read about this person in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 40. Solomon. Solomon prayed for God's blessing on the people and also on the place they gathered. I believe it's so important for the pastor of the local church to pray for his people, to pray for the individuals who make up the local body of Christ. It's so important that we look back and we see Solomon as he prayed for God's blessings upon the people, upon his people that God had placed him in charge. Now, he wasn't someone who was, he was not an individual who was riding rough trod, if you want to use those terms, over people. He was one who was their leader. And that's the way a church pastor is to be. He's to be the leader of the people of God in that local congregation. 2 Chronicles 6:40 says, "Now, my God," Solomon says, "let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." He prayed for his people. And there's other verses that bear this out, that Solomon prayed for his people. And we should pray as David prayed in Psalm 54 and verse 2. David said, "Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth." That's the way you and I, as saved people, need to be praying. We need to pray as David prayed. "Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth." We need to seek God's face and go to him in prayer and ask him for the things that we need in this life. Sometimes we think that, you know, well, we just don't want to bother God. He's so busy. Well, God's never too busy to listen to our prayer. He's never too busy for that pastor to go to him and pray for the people. He's never too busy for the people, for you and I, to pray to him and to ask him to take care of the things we have need of. It's not wrong to pray that God would help us in this life. Well, Jesus told how often we should pray. He says it's to be always. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." That means don't give up, don't quit, don't stop. You know, maybe you pray and you say, "Well, my prayers just didn't seem to get answered, and you know, I just don't know if I'm going to keep on praying." Well, you may not say it in those words, but sometimes we just get discouraged, don't we? And we just sort of just give up, not only in prayer, but things of this life. But I find that if I get back into the Word of God and I pray to God, I pray to my Heavenly Father, I ask him for the strength I need. And you know what? It's like getting a shot. He gives me a holy shot from heaven to just lift me up and to get me going so that I can serve him and do the things that he wants me to do. We need to pray and not to faint. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. And by all means, don't stop praying. I see another name, Hezekiah. Hezekiah found out that God answers prayer. In Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 5, this blesses my heart. Isaiah 38 verse 5, "Go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Well, this man prayed, and God went so far as to give him 15 more years of life. Well, our church family should be praying, a praying family. And our church family should pray down the blessing of God on the place that we're at. where we're serving God. Our church family should get serious with God. When people get serious with God, He will get serious with His people. And the blessing of God does not have to fall, resulting in a bunch of fanfare, noise, whooping, and hollering. In other words, the blessings of God does not have to be visible at the time, but it needs to be expected from God that He's going to do what we pray for. Now, I mentioned earlier about prosperity preachers preaching that you can ask God for anything and He'll give it to you. Well, I found this out in my life, that when I pray for something, sometimes it may be something that would cause me harm or that would bring dishonor and disgrace to God. Now, I'm not thinking of any particular thing, but I'm thinking that there's times when I've prayed and I've said, oh, God, I need this or I need that. Well, God knows better than me. He knows what I need. Now, it doesn't mean that I shouldn't pray for the things that I want, that I think I need. That means that I'm depending on God and His will. Whatever brings honor and glory to Him, that those things would be done according to His will. Remember, the blessing of God does not have to fall, resulting in a bunch of fanfare, noise, whooping, and hollering. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 13, it says, "And he," that's God, "said to Elijah, Go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah?" God does not always speak to us in a way that we expect. He does not always do the things that we expect, but He is God, and He needs to do the things that we don't expect. He does the impossible in our lives. And the first thing that He did that seemingly was impossible was to save my soul so that I would not go to a devil's hell. And that is the greatest thing that He's done for you if you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. He's made it possible for you and I to go to heaven. And, you know, when I got saved, it was that still small voice that spoke to my heart. And I said, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I receive You as my Lord and my Savior." If you've been saved, you've done the same thing. You've trusted Him as your Savior. You've asked Him to save you, and He's made it possible for you and for me to be in heaven one day. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." That was the truth. And Nicodemus realized that. And we have proof that Nicodemus got saved, because after the crucifixion of Christ, after Christ's body hung on that cross and that body gave up the ghost, the spirit of life, the breath of life, Nicodemus was one who came and asked for the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bury the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph of Arimathea, also where Christ's body was laid in that tomb, he came. But Nicodemus received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior when Jesus said, "You must be born again." The proof, he came to receive Jesus Christ's body and help bury the body in the tomb.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.